From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. It took several months after his confirmation as Secretary of State for Rex Tillerson's department to begin holding regular press briefings. Spokesperson Heather Nauert was hired in April and began in early June, holding first twice-weekly press conferences. She now meets with the press 3, 4, and even sometimes 5 times a week. This past Thursday, she spoke for about a half an hour with the media, discussing various aspects of U.S. foreign policy, and today we bring you clips from that press briefing.
Today I want to start out in Afghanistan and talk a little bit about an important announcement that came out of Afghanistan from the government there today. President Ghani launched the Afghan government's new compact. It's called the Afghan Compact. The compact represents the Afghan government's commitment to key reforms aimed at improving security and creating a more peaceful, stable, and prosperous society. We have long stressed and supported the Afghan government's efforts to fight corruption and improve its governance, and the compact is an important new step in that effort. The implementation of the new commitments, which include benchmarks in 4 key areas, governance, security, peace and reconciliation, and economics. They carry with them the opportunities to improve the delivery of government services, stem official corruption, and prepare for secure national elections in 2018. The benchmarks are tied to global standards of good governance put forward by the World Bank and other leading institutions. The development of the compact and its ultimate implementation was an important consideration in the development of the administration's new South Asia strategy. Chief Executive Abdullah highlighted the fact earlier this week when he said that nation building is a job for the Afghans themselves to do and not the United States or other countries. So we congratulate Afghanistan on that and look forward to any way that we can assist them. Today's announcement demonstrates Afghans' renewed commitment to taking up its share of the burden. As President Trump has said, the United States remains committed to supporting Afghanistan as long as they continue to make real reforms, show real progress, and produce real results. And I'll take your questions.
That's it?
That is it.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
I don't have a lot, but I have two very brief follow-ups, but I'll wait until the end to ask those. So the only other thing I have is, do you guys have any thoughts on the what appears to be a bolstering of relations between Qatar and Iran, with Qatar sending an ambassador back to Iran? This is not the direction that the Arab neighbors wanted to see Qatar move in. So do you guys have any thoughts?
So let me first just mention something about the overall Qatar dispute. And that is something that we continue to keep a very close eye on. As you know, our Deputy Assistant Secretary Tim Lunderking was recently over there working on that issue along with General Zinni. We remain very deeply concerned with the status of that dispute. It's been now how many weeks? 12 weeks or so. Let me double check the facts on that. But it's since when?
June the 5th.
It's gone on for far too long. It really has. So we remain deeply concerned with the status of that. In terms of your question, Matt, about restoring diplomatic ties with Iran and Qatar doing that, we would just basically say that we encourage the parties to try to minimize the rhetoric. I know this. You're going to want more of an answer on this for you on this particular matter. The governments of Qatar and Iran are the best ones to answer those questions. I just want to say, overall, we just remain very concerned about the dispute.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, you guys have been involved, albeit maybe not enthusiastically, but you were forced to get involved because they weren't making any progress on their own. And I don't think it's out of the, you know, I don't think it's inappropriate to ask if the United States thinks that Qatar and Iran restoring diplomatic relations is a good thing for the dispute resolution process.
Completely fair question. There are diplomatic things that may be going on that we're simply not aware of or can't speak about right now. So I know it's not a very satisfactory answer. You're more than welcome to ask me about it as much as you like. I just want to go back to just say we're concerned about the status of the dispute.
Right,
and we'll continue to have
worse
conversations with the government of Qatar.
Do you not have an opinion?
Is the dispute Do we regard the dispute as worse?
Is the restoration of diplomatic ties helpful to the resolving the dispute? Does it hurt?
Is it something you don't have an opinion on? I'm just not going to characterize it, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. But overall, we remain very concerned about the status of the dispute, and we're making those messages clear.
Is his involvement with just that one mission, or is he an envoy, an ongoing process?
I'm not certain if he has a particular role or title. Let me double check on that for you. My understanding is that the general was brought on with his broad range of expertise in his previous career in the military as assisting with the Qatar dispute. Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Can we move on?
Yes.
We'll go right ahead.
I understand.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. In terms of the White House delegation that traveled to the region this week, they were in Qatar on Monday, and it seemed like that was a portfolio that the secretary was taking care of and owning the dispute. So what's the benefit of sending the White House delegation there to follow up? And did Tillerson speak with them before they went on the trip?
Yeah. So we remain in very close contact with the White House, with Mr. Kushner's office, Mr. Greenblatt's office, and so forth. All of these meetings, our embassy is involved with. We're involved in the facilitation of the meetings, attending a lot of the meetings, debriefing following the meetings. I can give you somewhat of a readout from that meeting that you just asked about. On August 22nd, 2017, Senior Advisor to the President Jared Kushner, Special Representative for International Negotiations Jason Greenblatt, Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategy Dina Powell, and Deputy Assistant Secretary for State for Arabian Gulf Affairs Tim Lenderking met with Emir Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani of Qatar and his senior advisors to talk about advancing President Trump's goal of a genuine and lasting peace among the Israelis and the Palestinians. The parties discussed the importance to the peace effort of countering terrorists and extremists, improving humanitarian situation in Gaza. The two sides affirmed the close relationship between the United States and Qatar and committed to strengthening the relationship and close cooperation. So I think that was really the limit of their conversations.
The secretary had conversations with them before they went over there?
I'm not certain if the secretary himself actually spoke with, you mean with Mr. Kushner and Mr. Greenblatt? I'm not certain of that, but I know our staffs talk regularly, and we talk with them as well as the NSC, and they communicate with us very well. Okay? All right. Anything else on Qatar? Okay. Saeed, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I want to go to the Palestinian-Israeli issue.
Pardon me?
I want to go to the Palestinian-Israeli issue, if I may. I wanted to ask you about an issue that the United States is pressuring the United Nations, I guess, Human Rights Council to not to publish the list of American companies that are doing business in Israeli settlements. Can you confirm that, or what reason would you have to pressure the United Nations to delist or not to publish the list of these companies?
I think we take issue with the list itself, and we've been very clear about that. The United States is adamantly opposed to the so-called blacklist in this resolution. We have been from the very beginning. We fought against this in Geneva. That's where it was originally proposed. We consider these types of resolutions to be counterproductive, and they really do nothing to advance peace between the Israelis and Palestinians.
I mean, you don't want to encourage the settlement to have their own semi-independent kind of economy and trade and all these
things. I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, the target of this list is to show the companies that are doing business with settlement that you and the rest of the world consider it to be illegal.
Look, I think overall we just view that type of blacklist as counterproductive. Does that help facilitate peace? I don't think so. Well, and the United States, I think, has been pretty clear about
neither
that.
Neither the proliferation of settlements and their economy. Does it help peace?
We don't think that kind of list is productive, period.
Can I get you to comment on last issue? A report shows that there are 3,455 Israeli structures in the West Bank, on privately owned Palestinian land, which you oppose. And in the past, there were condemnation of these efforts. Thus far, since this administration came into office, there's been no condemnation of such buildings of settlements on privately owned Palestinian land. So I wanted to ask your position on this.
You know, I think in terms of building on land, you know, gets back to the administration is committed to doing what it can to try to advance peace. The president, as well as others in the administration, have said repeatedly, and I feel like I get this question every single day from you, that unrestrained settlement activity does not advance the cause for peace. We'll leave it at that. Okay, let's move on to something else. Andrea, hi.
Related subject, in terms of the Greenblatt-Kushner trip. Mm-hmm. In the meetings with Netanyahu, was it the decision of the embassy to defer to Israel's decision to have only government cameras there, an embassy camera shot their statements as well as a state Israeli, as far as I know,
yeah,
there were no reporters
there. I'm afraid I don't have anything for you on that. I've not.
Could you take that question?
Yeah,
as to the policy of our embassy in coverage.
So the question is, what is the policy of the
when
U.S.
Kushner
embassy?
When Kushner is traveling.
Uh-huh.
And there's a photo op, which there was, and he made a statement, which
okay.
he did, and
mm-hmm.
so did the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
What is the policy now to only have so-called fake news by the government cameras cover that?
I'm sorry,
rather than
whose
journalists.
Cameras covered this?
A camera, I'm told, a camera from the embassy, from the American embassy, uh-huh. and a camera from
so
the
an
Israeli
official,
government.
An official photographer?
Right, uh-huh. shooting statements that made it look like they were press statements. I was not there, so I'm taking this off of.
Yeah, I'm not aware of this report. I can't confirm that that took place, but I can certainly look into that.
I'd like
for
to
you.
Know what the U.S. Embassy's
policy. I will look into that.
Is
I will look into
when
that
when Kushner
for you.
Is traveling and making statements.
Yep, I'll look into that for you certainly. Okay. Hi, Lori.
What do you
want to talk about, Iraq?
Actually, no. Serious.
All right.
The UN reported earlier this month that two shipments have been intercepted in the past half year from North Korea to a Syrian government agency responsible for chemical weapons production. Can you provide more details on those shipments? And do you think that are your efforts to isolate North Korea and prevent Syria from manufacturing using chemical weapons effective, or you think there are problems with that?
So a couple things on this. This is a confidential report. This was put together by the UN. It is, hold on a second, I have some more information on this. I'm looking in the wrong place. Give me a second for you. So that report, my understanding is that it will be released eventually by the United Nations. So UN will have to provide all the specifics on that report. But as a general matter, I can say overall that we would applaud the work of this particular committee and its work to try to hold North Korea responsible or accountable. We continue, and we talk about this a lot, to encourage member states to provide that committee with information on the DPRK's attempts to circumvent UN sanctions. So there are the sanctions against the DPRK. If in fact this is true, what is being reported, that would be a very grave concern to us.
Okay. And follow up on that, the Washington Post has a big article which you doubtless saw, saying that the real motivation, energizing motive for this dispute with Egypt over mm-hmm. financial aid was really Egypt's dealings with North Korea. Is that true? Is that accurate?
So, I mean, what I can tell you about that and is that, you know, we've long talked about concerns about democracy, about human rights. We have long listed our concerns about Egypt and the direction that it has been going in. As it pertains to DPRK and Egypt, you know, we continue to work with our allies and partners. Egypt is one of them. We have conversations with Egypt and many other countries around the world about the need to isolate the DPRK. And we do that because we recognize that countries around the world that do business with North Korea enable money to go into North Korea's illegal nuclear and ballistic weapons programs. And that is a huge concern of ours, and it's a huge concern to the international community as well. We have a deep and multifaceted relationship with the country of Egypt. We have a lot of areas of close cooperation, but DPRK overall, as a broad matter, is a big concern to the United States.
Okay. On Raqqa in Syria, if you may.
Hold on, let's stick. Does anyone else have any questions about Egypt? Okay, let's then switch over to DPRK. Hi, how are you?
Good. Follow up on that part. Are you concerned that the recent sanction against the Chinese and the Russian entities and individuals may harm the progress you have been seeing recently?
No, and here's why. The companies and the individuals who have been sanctioned, the third-party sanctions, are in China and Russia, but we don't target any specific governments at all with regard to sanctions. We look at those sanctions, and Treasury can talk about this this more, but we would regard those sanctions as not being necessarily a part of the government, but companies that are involved in illicit activity, companies or individuals who are involved in illicit activity. Russia and China have pledged to adhere to the sanctions against the DPRK, and we trust and look forward to them adhering to that. We take them at their word. They said that they would, and we don't have any reason to believe that they wouldn't now.
Okay. The Chinese foreign ministry actually can object this sanction. I wonder if during a phone call between Secretary Tillerson and Chinese State Counselor Yang Jiechi, did Secretary Tillerson explain the motivation behind this sanction?
You know, again, this isn't to target a government. These are to target entities and individuals who are funding some of DPRK's programs. Okay? This can happen anywhere around the world where we see people who are involved in those types of things or companies, and we will keep an eye on them. And if appropriate, Treasury will look into it and then sanction them.
Okay. And last one, could you please explain what's the precondition now for the United States to start the negotiation with North Korea? Because in March, Secretary Tillerson, actually, he said the negotiation could only be achieved if North Korea give up the weapons of mass destruction. But recently, he also suggested that Pyongyang only had to demonstrate that it was serious about a past before the talk began.
Overall, our policy on DPRK has not changed. We want a denuclearized Korean peninsula. The world wants that. UN Security Council resolutions have backed that up as well. So that has not changed. But the Secretary has looked at this as one of the countries that cares deeply about this issue and have said that Kim Jong-un needs to take further steps, in order to show that he is serious before we are willing to sit down. So our policy on that hasn't changed.
Serious about giving up their weapons program or serious about not advancing it beyond where it is currently? Because he said both things.
Yeah, and let me read a quote from something he recently said. The U.S. is willing to negotiate with Pyongyang, but given the long record of North Korea's dishonesty in negotiations and repeated violations of international agreements, it is incumbent upon the regime to signal its desire to negotiate in good faith. A sincere indication would be the immediate cessation of its provocative threats, nuclear tests, missile launches, and other weapons tests. Susan Thornton has talked about this, and look, we hope to get to that point with them, but there's still a long way to go. All right, anything else on DPRK?
Yeah,
okay, how are you?
The sanctions on China and Russia, there are reports that maybe the U.S. government is still considering expand the range of these sanctions, like to some major banks in China. So I'm just wondering that can confirm there is a discussion about this.
I can't, because that would be something, I can't confirm it. It would be something that Treasury would be looking at and considering if that were to be the case, but I'm just not aware of that. Okay?
Hi. You mentioned United States is pleased to see North Korea demonstrate some level of restraint.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we can see the joint military exercise between U.S. and South Korea. So we know this is like pre or planned before, but have you ever thinking about if canceled this kind of joint military exercise, that would be beneficial to regional stability?
I feel like I keep getting this question again and again and again. These exercises with South Korea, or any of our allies for that matter, these have been done for decades and decades. In particular, with South Korea, which is ongoing right now, I suppose that's why you're asking me about that. We've been doing it since 1953. And this is something that we do for military readiness. It's something that we do to our ally, as with our ally. As you know, we have a very close relationship with the Republic of Korea. It's a combined command and control event. It's designed to improve the alliance's ability to defend the Republic of Korea. We also have 17,500 U.S. service members who are serving and participating in that. There are 3,000 who are involved in this coming from off peninsula. These are regularly scheduled. It's an annual exercise that we do all the time. It comes with many months of planning. But to suggest that our activity with our ally of the Republic of Korea is in any way equivalent to the DPRK's actions is simply false. Okay. All right. Anything else on DPRK?
Yeah. Just on DPRK. Hey, thank you. The secretary spoke of a measure of restraint that he wants to acknowledge. It's true that there haven't been any missile tests or nuclear tests since the new round of sanctions. But this week they did release a round of propaganda photographs showing Kim Jong-un and what were described as missile scientists and commanders, and there was various missile paraphernalia in these photographs and diagrams on the wall.
Does
that give you cause for concern? Is that provocation, even if it didn't involve an actual firing?
You know, I'm glad that you refer to it as a propaganda photo, because it's, you know, simply what it is. We don't know the timing which that photo was taken. We don't know if it's an old photo or if it's a recent photo. We don't know if that photo was taken before the secretary's comments or after the secretary's comments. Sometimes there's a lag time between things that are said here and things that get posted in the DPRK. We consider it overall a good first step that there haven't been any missile launches or testing for three plus weeks or so. But we need to see more.
We need to see more, nothing.
We need to see them take more action, more or inaction in that instance.
Okay, but this gets back to the, I remember when I first asked this the other day, and you made the kind of joke about you're going to reward your kid for not stealing a cookie.
Yeah.
But isn't that what this is?
In what way?
Well, I mean, if you're willing to talk with them as long as they don't do something.
No, we're not at that point yet. So I don't want to get ahead of activities or forecast what's going to happen in the future or talk about hypotheticals. We need to see more action, more serious action.
So they actually have to do something, just not.
The point is, they need
nothing.
To take steps in the right direction. Okay, it's been 3+ weeks since they haven't done any missile launches or missile tests. We're pleased with that, and we'd like to see that go on more. But they need to do a lot more.
Okay.
During this period, has Ambassador Yun been able to speak to Mr. Park Chung-il or any of his colleagues at the North Korean delegation in the U.N.?
I don't have any conversations, calls, or meetings to provide you right now.
Because there aren't any, or because there are
no meetings? I just don't have any.
Okay.
One of the problems with it being hot in here is everybody gets sleepy. Okay.
Just one clarification.
Okay. Connor Howard, you want to talk about Cuba?
Yes. Okay. Quickly.
Staying on North Korea.
Pardon me one second. I'll do North Korea.
Just a clarification. How are you confident that China will honor the latest sanctions against North Korea? It hasn't done in the past. And what about the monitoring of the commercial corridor between those two countries? The coal is going, everything, you know. So how are we going to be confident that, yes, this time China is honoring?
China has talked about how it intends to do that. You know, we have to take some of our partners at their word. The situation, and I think many nations want stability in the Korean Peninsula. Many nations understand the threat that the DPRK faces. Let me read to you just a little bit from Secretary Tillerson when he was in Manila, and he was referring exactly to this with regard to the Chinese. He said, We had discussions in Manila about this situation. He's referring to the Chinese and also the Russians. He said, I know they're having talks as well with representatives from North Korea. I think that is evidence that they have very good open channels of communication to be able to talk to the regime of North Korea, and we hope that they will be encouraging them to stand on their program and abide by UN Security Council resolutions, with which both China and Russia have voted for in the past. I'm hopeful that they can use their influence, and I think they do have influence with the regime, to bring them to a point of dialogue, but with the right expectation of what that dialogue will be. So there are ways that, you know, certainly other nations can reach out and, you know, communicate their messages to the DPRK. Okay. So we're taking China at its word right now. Okay. Connor, go right ahead.
Yeah. So yesterday you said that the State Department had brought medical professionals down to the staff in Havana. I'm wondering if you can say whether or not one of those doctors was one of the Americans who has been injured by the activity.
I am not aware of that. I'm not aware of that at all. This is the first I'm hearing of that.
So it's exclusively U.S. diplomatic personnel who have been injured and had these symptoms.
My understanding is that, again, my understanding is that the people who experienced these symptoms were U.S. government employees who were there working for the U.S. government. Okay.
And then just as well, I've heard from some senior officials here that Cuba has been responsive to the U.S. request for an investigation. Would you say that the Cubans have been working with the U.S. on the investigation? Or is that an over-characterization?
I don't know. Responsive, working with...
But it's not a joint investigation with the two?
I don't believe it's a joint investigation. The U.S. government is investigating this. We have multiple agencies and departments who are involved in this and take it extremely seriously. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. This is something that we have not experienced in the past. We are working very hard to try to take care of our folks who are there, you know, they're on official duty, and trying to provide them all the care and the treatment and the support that they would need.
And then just one last question. Yeah. I'd asked yesterday, but you ran out of time. Can you say whether or not the attacks are ongoing still?
I was briefed on this both yesterday and today, and I was told that the incidents are not ongoing at this point. Okay.
Thank
I do
you.
Have some news, which I know some of you will be very interested in hearing about this. I want to mention that I have an update for you on this, on the number of people who have been affected. We have not provided that information in the past. We only now have the confirmation of the number of Americans who have been affected by this. We can confirm that at least 16 U.S. government employees, members of our embassy community, have experienced some kind of symptoms. They have been provided medical treatment in the United States as well as in Cuba. We take this situation extremely seriously. We are trying to provide them the help, the medical care, the treatment, and the support that they need and the support that they deserve.
Can I follow up?
I know. We'll have a lot of questions about this. And I don't have a ton of information,
well,
but
well, when you
I'll
said,
give you what I can.
Does that include spouses at all?
My understanding is that all the, you know what?
They come under chief of mission authority, but are they all actually?
You know what? Let me check on that for you, because I just got this information as I was coming out here, and I don't have that in front of me. So let me find out if these were all actually employees or if some of these are family members. Can we check on that while we're in here and see if we can get you that information before the briefing ends?
When you said that there were no more, that they're no longer experiencing the symptoms,
I'm sorry, did I say no longer experience the symptoms?
The incidents
are no longer occurring.
Does that mean that something was found or something in these buildings was intermediated? I mean, how do you know that it's no longer an issue? Was there some physical object or discovery?
To my knowledge, nothing. Last I heard, nothing has been, you know, nothing has been identified as, you know, here is a piece of equipment, for example.
And can you update us on the report? CBS had a report of brain damage, mm-hmm. according to a doctor treating at least one employee. I'm not sure whether about the numbers. Have you anything further to suggest, brain damage?
I can't confirm any of that. I can't confirm that CBS report. And we would never give information about the health status of one of the Americans.
And for all the 16 that you mentioned,
yeah.
Are they all out of country now, or is some still?
No, I believe that some of them are still there.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.